Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans proudly supports the Adam Carolla Show. So when you're choosing a mortgage lender, work with someone you can trust. Rocket Mortgage. They are transparent and they have an online process that gives you confidence to make an informed decision. Don't waste time searching through stacks of paperwork. Securely share your financial info for a mortgage and get approval in just minutes. It's Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to be sure you get the mortgage solution that's right for you. So whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance your existing mortgage, skip the bank, skip the waiting. Do it completely online at quickenloans.com/Adam. That's quickenloans.com/Adam. Dawson.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Alec Baldwin. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a visit with Vinny Tortorich. And now, he also thinks coffee's for closers. Unless you put fake hazelnut cream in it, then coffee's for losers. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love what you do for us around here. So thank you for that. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Quiet.
Oh, yeah. Baldwin. And Vinny Tortorich in
guys.
Studio.
Oh, wait. I need to change that. Hang on just a second.
Haagen-Dazs!
No, see, I've been listening to the show, and I realize I don't have a thing.
Yeah, you need
and
a call.
And Damashek comes in with, Fruzyglazen was only here for like 2 minutes.
I barely remember it.
It came in after Haagen-Dazs, so... There you go.
What is a...
You realize I'm not a comedian.
If you do... well, as long as we're on dessert...
Benny's next week. Ben and Jerry's! Scratch it off the list.
As long as we're on dessert, I think the whole milk, super cream, ice cream, better than cake, better than brownies, muffins. Is it safe to say that an ice cream that's made of a whole milk or whole cream better than anything in the sort of cake pastry department?
Absolutely. The fewer ingredients in your ice cream, the better. If it says sugar and whole milk, you're good.
Yeah. So, yeah. And you're not good in the eyes of Vinny or the Lord, but you're good. You're better than a piece of chocolate cake.
That or any other iteration of ice cream, like Rice Dreams or any
right.
of that. Oh, my God.
And Tofutti.
Tofutti. Or if you get into Froyo, which is just a chemical.
Well, how much? I mean, so, there's so, Gina grew up. So we Gina and I had, we were both different sides of the retard coin. Her mom was buying all the snack wells and all the soft
Diet
puffs,
right.
and these chips are baked. They're not fried.
Right.
So they're eat as much as you want. It's baked. You know what I mean?
And Olestra that says on the bag gives you anal leakage.
And yeah. my mom was on the sort of holistic side, which is we only eat brown sugar and brown rice and halva and carob and all the stuff that your liver just looks at as
halva's yeah. a Jewish thing. That's like sand and sugar mixed.
And yes. Then- sand and honey, but yeah, I get it. So
it's not just that it must come from the earth. It must resemble
it
and
must taste
like
of the earth. Yeah. yeah. Yes. If your cat pissed out sugar water into its cat box and you were able to collect it, this is what halva. That'd be the texture yeah. and the taste of
is
it.
Is your mom still alive?
Sadly, yes.
And, oh, God.
And she still believes in all this crap. And
let's
so,
bring her in and do a thing. Come on, Adam.
You don't know what you're
she's
asking.
She's very angry and passive aggressive. And Brian, wouldn't you just call her sort of angry and weird?
From the times I've heard her on the radio, yes, I have not the pleasure of talking to her in person.
Right.
But yes, she seems hostile to the idea of conversation.
Yes, yeah, not
she
in the conversation.
She can't fake it like all moms do. She can't turn it on when guests are around.
How would I know that?
She doesn't go, oh, hi. Why? Like moms do.
No, she's a full bummer, and she's
she'd be the worst Southern Belle.
She was on
My Stars.
She was on the radio on a syndicated radio show. I mean, Brian's got it. Her, this was her attitude playing a trivia game on syndicated radio.
How would I know that?
That's
How
your mom.
How should I know? How should I know?
With no attempt at like finishing with a joke or saying something cute or, oh, you know, Adam, when I see you at dinner, oh boy, am I going to give it to you? She doesn't have any of that. She's just a full-blown bummer who just goes, how should I know? And like,
what was the question to that?
It was a very difficult yet telling, FM morning game, which is, Dave Damashek, the reason Dave Damashek is Dave Damashek, and I can find a handful of these guys in my life, is because they have these moms that just fawn over them, have always fawned over them,
right.
And they end up getting this insane sense of self, which is completely off base, but either way, it gives them a little personal momentum in life. And
a boring sports ass?
By the way, the worst is when these guys are your roommates. And they literally expect you to like do their laundry and stuff like that. They're just they're the worst guys to be roommates with because they just expect, you're doing your laundry, do my laundry. Mom did my laundry. I'm me is basically the thing. Sheck's got a little of that. A lot of it.
A brain sports ass.
But I like him. So his mom is fawning. My mom is somewhere between out of it and angry.
His mom's fawning. Your mom's yawning.
Yeah, she's ambivalent, right?
I improvised that.
Damashek fawns, Corolla yawns. And then sort of ambivalent meets slightly hostile to whatever it is I'm into. And so we thought of it, but now my mother was living and lives in North Hollywood. Yeah. The station is in Los Angeles. Dave's mom lives in Beaver Creek, PA or something. She's out in Pennsylvania.
Your mom must have been a great protester back in the day. Okay, what we need you to do here, this is a sit-in. If the cops try and tell you to leave, try and get you to move, don't do it. Can do.
Already did.
Oh, what's up? Yeah, it was like, oh, Chris, thank you for spearheading. Oh, I was already sitting here.
Yeah.
So she was hippy-dippy, you know.
Hippy-dippy, but hippy-dippy's also kind of lazy angry. The people don't realize. You can see it now. Now you're seeing it. You've always heard me say the hippie is this kind of, hey, man, let me just put a flower in the gun of the Army Reserve guy or free love or peace and love. But I always said just underneath that is rage. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing it now? You're seeing the May Day protests?
But that's all hippies. They all do that.
That's
just
what I'm saying.
Mom.
But the hippies, hippie is basically, here's what being a hippie is. It's Ellen DeGeneres dancing at the beginning of her show.
Right.
She's not into dancing. She does not into anything. She doesn't care about the Biebs or whoever's coming on. She's not into any of this crap. But she wants you, because she's not into any of this crap and is angry, would like you, I will put this foot forward. So right. I'm super angry. I'm super hostile and I'm super passive aggressive. So I'm going to do this loving, cool vibes, you know, let your freak flag fly. What's happened, but just below the surface is rage. And that's with all hippies. Now, they used to keep it in check because they realized we got the Earth Mama thing and the peace sign,
right,
and we're driving a VW microbus and we can't be seen punching cops are throwing trash cans through plate glass windows because it wouldn't work. Meaning, Ellen gets it. Ellen's angry, but she still dances in front of every show and there's no footage of her punching an audience member.
Right.
She gets it. That's her bread and butter. That's what she puts forward to us. Now it's just sort of game on. Mm-hmm. It's like the hippies have decided, screw it, we're lighting a fire and punching a cop's horse. So that is the new hippie. My mom was the old hippie with the peace and love, with the rage and the super passive aggressive. It's just, I hate everything
right
underneath the peace and love. And everything falls under the heading of, I'm just trying to do what's better for the earth, what's better for the people, what's better for the indigenous people, what's better for the colored people, what's better for the brown people and
brown
the
sugar.
Indians and the brown sugar. And that's what it is. But she came on a syndicated radio show, although I'll tell you where it wasn't syndicated. It wasn't syndicated in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, where Mrs. Sheck resides and Ma Sheck. So we thought it'd be funny. I thought it'd be funny.
It was funny.
We thought it'd be funny if to see who knew more about the show.
About your radio show.
Yes, my mom, who lives in a city where it's the number one city for the radio show.
And they were heavily advertising bus ads and billboards.
Yeah, you were everywhere.
Can you talk about signal anywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
And or Sheck's mom, who does not have an affiliate anywhere near her. Right?
In her time zone.
Now,
please don't.
Really
no, come on.
Now, you have to figure this out. And podcasting wasn't really a thing back then. So you have to weigh it. Now you have to put your thinking hat on. We go, okay, this one person doesn't really have access or easy access or ready. She can't hop in her car on her commute into work and flick on the radio and hear my voice.
There were many barriers to entry.
Right.
No smartphones.
The other person has almost no interest in her son and a dusting of disdain. So, but has easy access to the show.
Yep.
So how is this going to work? Well, I can always tell you how this is going to turn out. Dave Damashek's mom knew everything about the show, and maybe even a lot of stuff that I didn't know.
She was correcting you on the answers.
Yeah, she knew the black intern Jerron's name. I don't even think you knew that.
I knew him as the troublemaker. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Don't think I'm racist. One of the good ones. Mm-hmm. That's right. He was a good kid.
He was suspect.
I knew him as one of the good. Well, he started off as suspect,
but then
I bumped
around,
him up to one of the good ones.
Once he got to know him. Once he got to know people who knew him.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was, she knew everything because she probably had people send her cassettes out from L.A. or listen somehow on the internet. But it was very early
with
the streaming back then. Not how you just pop on iTunes and subscribe and it'd be in your phone. Yep. But she knew everything because her precious little snowflake was talking.
And thus,
by the way, talking periodically.
Yeah.
It wasn't his show. My mom knew nothing. And was angry that we asked her, and because she's wired like she's wired, wanted to know why we were asking her and how she would know.
What's an example of the questions? Was it anything about you?
You get ready with how would I possibly know? No, you'd say like, what is the name of our show producer?
How would I know that?
And then Dave's mom would go, Jimmy Brusca. His wife's a principal, and she makes him paninis for lunch.
James Brusca is probably his driver's license.
And then we'd say, what's the name of our black intern? And my mom would say,
how should I know?
And then Damashek's mom would go, Jerron. And that would be, and my mom's dumb because it'd be like, well, what do you mean, how could you possibly know? Well, obviously, first off, the chick on the other line calling from Pittsburgh just got four in a row, so there is a way.
It's not inconceivable that one would know these things.
Brian, was it that bad? Was it?
It was a clean sweep. I don't mention anything.
Really?
And I think Dave's mom did feel bad after a while because she would answer like with a laugh, like, hey, Jerron.
She felt bad. Dave felt bad. Dave, you can hear Dave laughing on one of them because he feels it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, ask one more question. We'll play that one.
Okay. What's the name of our board op?
How can you possibly expect me to answer that?
That's an uncomfortable laugh by Dave after she's just flailing, not knowing a thing. But if she came in here and you started talking to her about this stuff, she would start getting angry, which is it's a gift, really. It's a blessing, which in turn makes people just not want to talk to you because there's nothing to
no
talk about.
Take.
We can't get into anything because you start getting angry. But also announced that Jimmy's job on the Oscars was just okay, mm-hmm. but she didn't really watch anyway.
Really?
Yeah. So
you wrote jokes and whatnot.
It's all coming together.
But you know,
now,
Adam, the most telling thing I think, and I will never forget this moment because you were so sincere about it. I was doing your Take a Knee show well over a year ago, and we got into something, and you said that your mom, you were somewhere with your mom. And you got very embarrassed because she tried to buy like a People magazine and she pulled out food stamps to pay for it. And you got really embarrassed. Is any of this coming back to you? Because I will never forget you telling me this story.
She's
in a People magazine?
No.
Or something. She was trying to buy something that you can't buy with food stamps.
Adam was the sexiest man alive.
You're taking two stories or three. First off, yes. when you buy things with food stamps, they'd tell you stuff like, you can't get cat food. You know, you can only get people food and stuff. It was super embarrassing to try to figure out what, especially in line, like what you could buy and what you couldn't buy. My dad, years after Celebrity kicked in and stuff, we went to the supermarket together. It was a little supermarket up Beechwood Canyon Market. And we went to the Beechwood Canyon Market, and I bought a few things. We were going to make sandwiches, or we went to the deli or something like that. And he went and waited by the magazine rack that they had at the end of the checkout, an old school magazine rack that they'd always have at the end there. And there was me and Dr. Drew, I believe, on like Wired magazine on the cover, just on the cover. And my dad picked it up, and I was watching him. So I was like checking out and paying and scanning stuff. And he pulled the thing out and he looked at the cover for a little while. And I was at, and then he slid it back in. He never opened it. And then we just left. Like, we just left. He didn't go like, oh, there's a magazine, or what's in it, or do you have this, or I don't have it, or what are they writing about, or anything. He literally just looked at the cover and then slid it back
in. Okay, let me give you the antithesis of that.
Please.
My dad, I bought a new car back in December,
mm-hmm.
and my dad kept asking about it. I literally saw it on a cover of like Car and Driver, Auto, or one of those magazines. I shipped my dad a copy of the magazine because my car and my color was on the cover of that magazine.
Same make and model, the exact same car.
It was the Corvette Grand Sport 2017
but not yours.
In my color.
Not
my particular car, but just a car that was exactly like 1,000 million other ones that GM makes. My dad kept that next to his chair, and everyone that walked into his house,
wow,
he said, my son just got that car.
Wow.
To the point where I got in the car, drove it to Louisiana, and gave him a ride.
Oh. Wow.
That's why when you tell these stories,
it's mind-numbing
it to
most people.
It doesn't even register.
Listen, my dad lives 8 miles from here. I have Paul Newman's a Le Mans winning 935 Porsche for $5 million sitting in a shop, and he has zero interest not only in seeing it, ever discussing it, or seeing me raise it or do anything. It's nothing.
Okay, Adam, if you walked into that shop with your dad, I mean, it's some of the most impressive
cars. He wouldn't say a word.
He wouldn't say, my God, how fast is this? How much horsepower?
No.
What? Nothing.
He would say, can you hurry up? I have a dentist appointment you need to drive me to.
Yes. That's what he would do. That's it.
You have vintage Lamborghinis.
Never seen
him.
Never been there.
You've never given him a ride in one of those Lambos.
No, he's never been to the warehouse.
Well, why don't you take him there and say, look, Dad.
I could.
Look at those Paul Newman suits hanging all over the place.
Would never.
I get chubbed up when I walk in. I walk in and just kind of sniff around them.
Never. I mean, yeah, I could take him there and push him in front of things and hold his eyelids open.
What would he say? If you walked in and said, Dad, he won Le Mans. He came out second.
It'd be like you were talking about somebody else's cat. He'd go, oh, well, I hope there you go. Mm-hmm. Like, it'd be some comment
But it's Paul Newman you're talking about. It's not even cars. It's Paul Newman was kind of hippy dippy, right?
He was zero. I'm telling you, zero. All right, we got questions up there. I want to get back to this dessert thing one more time.
Go.
So, all of this stupid froyo and all the stupid stuff that we're trying to do with the low calories or the skim milk or the whatever, all a waste of time. If people want to satisfy that sweet craving, which is fine to do from time to time, stay away from the bakery. Go get the ice cream, because the cream part of it you like, as long as it's made with cream. And then the sugar you don't like, but this is a nice compromise.
But that's what it's supposed to be.
Right.
You're supposed to enjoy. People go, what do you hate? It's like, no, I'm Italian. I'm going to Italy. I'm going to try gelato the whole time I'm there.
Do you have a brand that you like?
The one I screamed about earlier. Did I do Frozen?
Häagen-Dazs.
Häagen-Dazs. That's a great brand.
Just get the and by the way, vanilla better than Rocky Road.
They start adding
almonds
the grains
in Rocky Road
and all that stuff. Ben and Jerry's is worse about that than anyone. They add
cookie dough.
Yeah,
and
all kinds
else.
Of stuff, Chunky and it's a chemical storm.
Right.
But you know, just you want to stay. You know. as close to chocolate, vanilla, or maybe strawberry.
Is the rule of thumb like fewer ingredients better? Or it's not always the rule, but...
No, that is always the rule of thumb.
Because then you get into like sorghum powder and
stuff. Well, they add that stuff. They add gurgum and stuff like that.
All right, so get the good high-end made with cream and keep it simple, vanilla or maybe chocolate or something like that, but stay away from all the cookie dough and all the chunky monkey and everything, all the good stuff. I'm going to tease something. I am a sucker. I'm not a big fan of vanilla ice cream, just plain, but if I can spoon something over it, such as hot fudge or something like that, then all of a sudden it becomes a different animal because now it's a base.
Yeah, now it's a sundae.
It's been activated.
It's basically a syringe, and I got good H in there now. So before, it's just an empty syringe, not interested, but now it's got some nice horse in there. So you tell
me... I'm advocating the use of drugs.
You tell me something that you wouldn't mind me spooning... Or give me a lesser of evils on the spooning over department. You guys think of some of the stuff you like. Now, I'm going to tell you in advance, hot fudge and butterscotch are just going to be the same because we're just going to go, it's just a bunch of sugar and it's kind of liquid and it's going to react the same. But let's see if there's something we like better than the other. First, I'll tell you about Blinds Galore. Blinds Galore. Shades of Green sale. It's happening now. You get up to 45% off of everything. Don't waste any time. Order your free samples today. 15 free samples. They'll show up. I just got mine. I'm doing the other warehouse. We're doing some edit bays over there. We got a lot of movies in the works, and it's getting hot. Sun's pouring through. And also, we need to get it dark to shoot stuff in there and to screen stuff in there. So you get the 15 samples. It was so cute. Matt and I just picked out a hue of blue over there. Plus, free shipping. I did a thing that was, speaking of fruity toppings, it was a little bit of a fruity topping, but then I brought it all back. I said, Matt, let's go pick out a color for our Blinds Galore color over in the next room. And I got a couple blues. And as we're walking, I stopped at a Newman race car and I said, let's match it up to the blue on the hood.
Dude, are you gay?
No, I came right back, man. I matched it up to the race car hood. So,
like a man.
They've covered over 2 million windows. They've been family-owned and run. Custom-built blinds and shades. Unbelievable prices. Keep that heat out, man. Bounce that heat out this year. Designer look without the designer price. Blinds Galore, Dawson.
Let Blinds Galore help you get the custom blinds and shades you've always wanted in your home. Don't forget to check them out during their Shades of Green sale happening now, where you can get up to 45% off everything.
Now, I suppose we could sprinkle some crushed nuts or something on there, and you'd be down with that. Is there any difference between the marshmallow fluff, the chocolate sauce, the tapioca, not caramel, butterscotch, all that, or even sometimes, you know, it's good on the, you know, it's damn good on the vanilla.
What's that?
Trader Joe's just does like a boysenberry syrup.
Just I was going to say pancakes, like
just give a little shot of the compote, you know, boysenberry, whatever. Anything better than the other?
You're asking me to bring sand to a beach. But any of the stuff, any of the store-bought stuff, not going to be good, not going to be your friend because they add so much. You know, most of it is now done with high fructose corn syrup, which is even worse than, and there's so much chemical in it just to stabilize.
Could we mash up our own strawberries, put some honey or something in there, and make our own compote, like Brian was saying?
If you took strawberries, fresh strawberries, excuse me, and whizzed them up in a blender and put maybe a teaspoon of honey in it while you're whizzing it up, you're going to cause more, it's going to taste sweeter than you can ever imagine. And that would be 1,000 times better than anything you can squirt out of a bottle.
All right.
You could do the same thing with pure chocolate. You know, just chocolate. Fewer ingredients, the better. Chocolate, sugar. You know,
chocolate like a cocoa chunk powder of unsweetened chocolate.
Oh no, it could be
Hershey bar.
80%, 75%. No, Hershey bars. Now you're getting into junk again.
Can we buy a good just chocolate?
Yeah, you
go to Whole Foods and that kind of store and get one of the high end chocolate bars,
and you just put it in the whiz it up, dump
just
it in there,
melt it, do something wherever you put
all
it.
Right.
If you put it into a pot, Serena does this kind of thing all the time. She'll put 85% chocolate in the pot. She'll add some coconut oil to it, which is, as you know, good. It's MCT oil, and she'll mix it up and put a little honey in it just to give her something to put on something, you know, because, you know. Right.
And I like the strawberry compote as well.
Can I tell you personally what I think beats all of those things? And my dad's been making these for me since I was a kid and every once in a while as an adult. Some nice, some natural, not, you know, not Jif or Skippy, but a peanut butter parfait. A scoop of peanut butter, a little bit melted over vanilla
ice
cream.
Your dad made that for you?
Yeah, he did it all the time.
My dad opened a can of Dinty Moore for me once.
He would do it. You know,
why would your dad do that for you? Why would any parent do anything for anyone ever? Yeah,
that's what we had, and he wanted to make sure I knew he loved me. So a little peanut butter. Stirring a little peanut butter in that is perfect.
Oh, my parents decided the way to express their love for their children is by staying home and waiting to die. That's how we know.
Hey, consistency is love, man. Consistency is love.
Yeah, remember Carol Burnett would tug on her ear and that was her way? My parents rotting at home and waiting to die. That is their little message. Every time we think about them sitting on a sofa and becoming part of it, we'll know.
But they got divorced, right? So they still... they both got remarried? What did you I know some part of a piece of a story.
Yes.
So they didn't get divorced, but they're both remarried?
They got they separated for about...
Polygamy.
For about 10 years, and then when it came time to remarry, they officially got...
So other people wanted these two people.
I guess.
Please tell me you're making some of this up.
In my mom's situation, it's a little tough. I don't exactly... I don't know. I don't profess to know. Ray found out that... first off, Ray's the worst because he goes in and finds out stuff that you don't want to know all the time. You know, like he found out that she met my stepdad in primal scream therapy, which I never wanted to know.
Shudder.
And later on.
And then broadcast it.
He wanted to know why they slept in separate bedrooms. And I was like, Ray, if you ever find that out, don't you ever say a word to me. I will have you killed by a hobo and I'll never ask. And he's like, why don't you want to know? And I'm like, are you kidding me? What's in it for me?
Yeah.
What is in it for me?
How am I better on the other end of this?
Your parents are the antithesis of my parents. My parents, they go to car shows every weekend.
Why are you doing this to him?
If they would come here, they would walk into your shop. They wouldn't leave.
Yeah.
Hey, Vin, come get your parents out of here.
You probably don't know this, and I'm sure you don't want to know, but I am curious. Do you know how they met? Was it college or?
No, nobody went to college.
Higher education?
My mom and my dad met when I think a friend brought my mom to a thing that my dad was doing, and it may have been something to do with radio. He had a partner and a little like something. And that's about all I know. We try
romantic.
Not to get into any of it very often.
It wasn't flugelhorn related.
But they remarried, and my dad remarried to someone normal.
Oh, okay.
So she just sort of takes care of him.
But does she ever say, hey, you know, maybe we should go see Adam's car?
Not that normal. Not that normal.
But like, towards normal.
Okay, I think what it is, and I've kind of figured it out, and I put myself sort of in the same position. If you were in this position, I think you would be in this position. Mm-hmm. When you get remarried and you have stepkids, you're in this weird position of like, I now inherited a 13-year-old. You know, or an 11-year-old or whatever I inherited, you know, a 13-year-old and his super angry sister who was raised by these horrible people. So not only did I inherit a 13-year-old, I inherited a damaged, angry 13-year-old, like who was raised by these two idiots and horribly scarred. And I'm like talking about me and my sister. So now you got these two.
How's your sister doing these
She's
days?
Doing pretty good. She actually is doing, she's doing very well.
So both of you turned out fine. I mean, you seem fairly decent. And what does she do? Does she work? Does she marry?
Yeah, she works. She cuts hair. She's married. Yeah, she turned out fine. But, you know, at the beginning, she was running away and dropping out of school and,
I saw your house.
Whatever you would do if you had my mom and her dad. That's what any normal person would do. So she's just reacting. But when you're the step parent, then you get these like damaged goods kids, these feral kids that are damaged goods. And like, what are you supposed to do with these kids? And then, and you guys tell me if you'd be any different, you pull a cue from the dad and the dad's not doing anything.
Yeah.
So you're like, you'd probably be thinking like, should I be asking them if they've done their homework or if they want something for dinner or should I do something like that? And then you see their dad and their dad's not doing the biological dad or mom. Like, right. You just marry into this. And then if dad is sort of over here, kind of laissez-faire-ing it over here, not going to the football games or not cooking or not reading or not homework or not
it's
anything.
It's just a waste of my time.
Then you're kind of like, I guess if he don't
but
have
Adam,
to do it,
how did you learn?
To
because every time I go to like a Corolla thing, both of your kids are there. Your wife is there. Is one of your parents? Do they, like when we did 24-hour war, Brian and I had a date that night and held hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That wasn't my hand.
Yeah. Oh, wait. That's right.
But some parent there, but dad, mom, no. It's a movie opening.
No.
Vinny,
no.
He saw him on the cover of a magazine and put it back.
No.
But this is a movie.
Word.
I mean, the guy created a movie.
No. No, no, they were
did
not.
Did you invite
there.
Him?
No. I don't
so you didn't
no, they don't go anywhere. Look, why bother? Like,
because they won't go. Is that it?
No, or? They would. They might go if I invited them. But on the other hand, it's sort of like if you're not involved, you're not involved. Like that's a decision you made, you know. And I just look at it as that's the decision. That's what
they
made.
I'm fascinated. I'm sorry, I'm taking up the show, but we need to go have a drink one night. And I just want you to tell me the whole story.
It's really here's the real vexing part. The vexing part is that they found each other, which I don't think is coincidence. The two least interested people on the planet found each other. That's the part.
But
that's
they procreated the twice.
I guess so.
Are you listening, Dos Equis? You got your new campaign.
That's right. That's right. We're going the other direction. All right. We got phone calls. We got Baldwin calling in. He's going to be a little bit late, right? Yeah, so we know. All right. I'll tell you guys about stamps.com. Convenient, easy, reliable, stamps.com. We use it here for all of our shipping. You can buy and print official U.S. postage, any letter, any package, any class of mail with your own computer and printer. They'll even send you a digital scale. They'll automatically calculate the exact postage. Yeah, there you go. And right now, you can enjoy stamps.com with a special 4-week trial, plus postage and the digital scale without long-term commitments. So, what do? Well, it's easy. Go to stamps.com, click on the microphone, top of the homepage, type in Adam. You'll get the scale. You'll get your free postage. Again, no long-term commitments. Stamps.com. Use the code Adam, top of the homepage. Click on it. Never go to the post office again. Why bother, man? It's stamps.com. That is stamps.com. All right, let's see. Needs advice. Someone's doing something with guacamole. I'm curious.
That.
I love it. Oh, there's a Mexican restaurant place, restaurant near my house, has the guacamole rolling bar. Every Mexican joint should have this. It's the easiest thing on the planet, and I don't see enough of it. And I've frequented many Mexican food joints and not seen this.
The tableside guacamole?
Yeah.
It's
so easy. The guy's got that big bowl.
Absolutely.
They take the two. They have that sort
it's
of...
mocajete.
They have a beautiful spoon just made for melon ball. And it's a beautiful... Like, it's not too curved. And Dawson's got one on his keychain.
Why ever would you think that?
But he takes two. He does two, snaps them, just start cilantro and the powdered garlic powder and knocks it off and then just sets it there.
I know what you're talking about now. I got a pair of flip flops with that on the bottom.
Oh yeah,
pops out. Sense. Yeah, like get smart. So I don't. Shouldn't that just be first off? You blink and the guy's done. Mm-hmm. It takes him 41 seconds to do it. Shouldn't that just be standard fare at every Mexican joint?
It absolutely should. It's the showmanship alone is fantastic.
Yeah.
We should have thought of this ahead of time. But Vinny, maybe while we're taking this call, could you do a little quick like Cinco de Mayo? You know what I mean, for the listeners. If you're going for Cinco de Mayo, do this and not this.
Yeah.
Like from guacamole to taquito.
Well, you can do. I love Mexican food more than anyone else. And you could do all of the Mexican food, just leave out the grain part. And I know that sounds crazy, but as we were saying in the back room before we walked in, the difference between salsa and gazpacho is a spoon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, whenever
Hold
it comes
on, you
to the table.
Sniff?
Thank you.
Yeah, if you leave the chips and you leave the tortillas and you leave the rice out.
Okay, but you got guacamole. What do you got to dip in
that's
guacamole?
The problem.
You know what I do? Because I love guacamole more than life. I take, before I use my spoon, I spoon some onto a plate for me. Again, I use the spoon. Now, at home when we make it, you know, we make cheese chips.
Yeah, the Parmesan crisps.
Yeah, you make it out of any kind of cheese, and they're crunchier than any kind of chip. You have cheese. Cheese and guacamole, you can't get any better than that. It's crunchy. But when you're out eating Mexican food.
Most people like most people.
A couple of things. I'll give you a drink option. I'll give you – get the fajitas. Eat everything
except – Is there a better smell on the planet than fajitas?
No, you go home and you still smell like it because you get a facial. You get a fajita facial. It's great.
And you make everyone jealous when that fajita shows up too because everyone's got their, you know, tacos or burritos.
Sizzling.
All of a sudden a sizzling skillet shows up.
By the way, it's great because it's – you can't hear the guy over the sizzling and he's warning you that it's hot. It's like, yeah, it's popping. I just
think it's still cooking.
Grease snapping everywhere. I get that it's iron skillet that's red hot. It's like, hey, the skillet's hot. Yes. By the way, if you have to explain that, I'm going to need you to drive home with me to explain to me to break when I get to the end of my garage so I don't go through the wall.
Don't keep walking. That door's closed.
Right. So, yeah. So go fajita.
Go fajitas. You can do any. You can actually.
Right.
Sometimes I'll do a burrito.
Any difference between a flour tortilla and a corn tortilla?
Your liver sees them exactly the same.
Really?
Yeah. You're going to get a load from both of them. As a matter of fact, we need to talk about resistant starches before I leave here because your audience has been begging me about that. But the drink. It's Cinco de Mayo. Mm-hmm. Go for the margarita, but don't make it a margarita. Have double shot of tequila put in there.
Right.
Squeeze some lime in it. Put a little soda water. It's not exactly a margarita, but you can have a bunch of those. You can get just as drunk. It tastes pretty good, and you won't get all the sugar.
Okay. Hey, Frank, 44, San Diego.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
You're
Happy
judging.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, man. You're judging a guacamole competition?
Yeah, we got a thing at work. A bunch of staff are making salsa, a bunch are making guacamole, and I'm one of the judges for the guacamole. So I'm wondering what I should be
Later,
basing it on.
Dawson just left.
Yeah. Dawson figures with traffic will be there in about 4 hours. All right. I think with the guac, it's all got about the same stuff in it. I got to go, for me, I got to go consistency. I like it a little chunky every once in a while. I don't want it to be buttery smooth. I need little pieces of avocado in there. So I would work consistency. I would also work the zesty versus flat. Some people just go straight guac and you add whatever you want to it. I like a little zest in there, but you don't want it to be
hot
or
distracting.
Tangy
is too far.
Right.
But I don't like when people overcompensate with hot, with jalapeno, as opposed to a flavor, a savory flavor. So I would say look out for that as well.
But you want to get a little onion or maybe just a little piece of jalapeno in your molars when you're crunching down. You want to have that feeling.
It's all about ratio, Frank.
Yeah, it is.
It's all about ratio.
Excellent.
All right, Frank. And then is there somebody else judging the salsa?
Yeah. Should we give them some pointers?
Is this a work-related thing?
Yeah, it's all staff doing it.
How does she work?
I like that. Who's the, what? Yeah, where do you work?
I work for it.
Hey, everybody. Happy Cinco. Well, actually, I'm about 5.5. I don't know. 5-6 on a good day. Enough about me. Chips, guac, poonanny. Shade, State 7. State 7, Shade.
I work for a corporate housing company. There's about 50, 60 of us, so we do a lot of fun stuff, and this is one of them.
All right. Well, it sounds like a real party going on over there.
Yeah, it should be really good.
And
it's real Waffle Wall Street stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys are out of control.
So another thing I wanted to give you a heads up on, because I need to hear about you going to more concerts. Your guys, Blues Traveler, are coming to L.A. November 17th.
Oh, good. Well, we'll go see them. Do you know where they're playing November 17th?
Mark my calendar.
Yeah, they're playing the Belasco. But for everybody else at the show there, U2 is playing two nights at the Rose Bowl in a couple of weeks.
Oh, okay.
Adam has front row tickets.
Bucka, 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 bucka. Bugga bugga. There, you're just at a U2 concert.
Frank's a concert.
They're playing the entire Joshua Tree album.
It's the anniversary.
Ooh, lots of bucka.
Great. Bugga bugga bugga. Bugga 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 bugga.
Mucho bucka.
Mucho bucka. All right.
Can I tell you, I don't mean to brag, and there's not many times I do this, but I make a pretty phenomenal guacamole.
Prove it. Prove it.
We need it here. Next time I'm in.
I'm willing to prove it. Anybody else make a phenomenal guacamole?
No.
Christy's pretty good.
Gary, we're going to go head to head.
I pay strangers.
Do you do any kind of sour cream or any kind of cream in there?
Don't you worry about what I do.
That's a big no-no.
You don't know what I do.
Mike
Secret recipe.
Indiana? Got a question for Benny?
Really appreciate,
yeah, man.
Yeah, I really appreciate the show. I was on the Body for Life diet on and off for a long time. It served me pretty well in the service, and a lot of the other diet fads came and went. But I know under Vinny's plan, a lot of the, even the complex carbohydrates, which are part of that diet, don't make the list. Things like the whole wheat tortilla, brown and steamed wild rice. I just wanted to get Vinny's opinion, you know, on cutting out on those complex carbohydrates.
So, Vinny, just to be crystal clear, no difference between a whole wheat tortilla and a regular flour tortilla.
No, and you also said, you know, you should listen to your own words. You said, I was on and off of something called Body for Life. So if it's a lifetime thing and you were on and off of it, why on and off?
I was in the service. It's just hard to, you know, go to the grocery store.
Yeah, but still.
Uh-huh.
Kind of shocking.
So why aren't you on it now? Why is it? Is it working now?
When, yeah, it's always seemed to do well for me. They're the national thing. They used to have a competition, gave a $1 million prize a year for the biggest transformation. But to me, it just made sense as far as what you were taking in, what you were doing, the workouts and stuff. So to me, the science behind it kind of made sense.
What is the science behind it?
It's calorie in, calorie out. Bill Phillips made a ton of money on his whole Body for Life thing.
What is calorie in, calorie out? Just less in and more
like,
out?
Yeah, basically, it's eat less. You know, it's people who believe that thermodynamics plays into gaining or losing weight. That would be like saying to you, okay, Gina, go out and drive your Subaru, and when it runs out of gas, keep driving it.
I don't think that'll work.
No, you got to fill it up again, yeah. Right? So if you're taking all of your carbohydrates, if you're taking your blood sugar down to a dangerous level, you then have to take it back in. But they want you to do it without getting too many calories. They want you to burn more calories per day than you're taking in, and that's silly. And the idea is that your body will start using its own fat stores to
right.
burn. And that will work for a very short period. That's why people say, oh, yeah, I was doing Weight Watchers or I was doing Bill Phillips or whatever. And it worked for a while. And my question will be, well, you're fat again. So what happened?
You know, Benny's bedside manner needs a little work.
Yeah.
But you see, someone's got to be tough on this because otherwise we're just sitting there hand-holding and crying over. You know, that's what my friend from you went to, Simmons. Richard. He was sitting there and crying
Bill
with
Simmons.
People. Oh. I can't sit around and cry with people. I'm yeah. trying to help people.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat anything for people who, oh, yeah, it works for me when I'm doing it. Well, why can't you live on it?
It's also,
and I'm not complaining about, I'm sorry, Adam, I'm not complaining about this guy, but people do that all the time.
Look, again, I've talked to a lot of people, Brian's one of them, who lost a lot of weight, and it was always just stop with the sodas, started walking, started moving. You know the difference between a piece of cake and a piece of fruit.
Yeah.
And that's 9/10 of it. Is that
speaking of fruit in a lot of those cases, in my case for sure, there's a lot of low-hanging fruit. Like I stopped eating fast food and I stopped drinking
right.
sodas. Like there were very obvious things, you know,
it's pretty easy to do, right? I mean, you just stop the things that were causing
there
weight
were the
gain.
the big target items, like I should probably not do that much of this anymore.
All right, let's talk to Lee 40 Orlando.
I'm afraid
I need to know this.
Hey guys,
yeah.
Gina, I'd like to get your experience. Adam, you got Natalia. Brian, you got Tess. You may want to start planning for this. What's the best way to have your daughter exposed to the male genitalia?
I think Little Kim has a song that kind of sums it up.
I never heard these words come out of your mouth.
Well, you don't know. I got more range than you think. Probably have to bleep out some of it, but Little Kim had a hit in. Let's just go ahead and call it around 2000 or so, maybe 99. And she used to be scared
of the
dick.
Now she gives lip. Handles it like
a song called Magic Stick. Is that it? I don't know. I don't know Lil Kim's catalog that well.
By the way, Garrett just rolled his eyes at you, you know, because he's keeping it real from Irvine. You know,
I've got where they would from live. The mean streets.
They used to listen to these when they were in golf carts.
He used to point his gun sideways at a cactus, going, "You want some?"
Give me a second to find it.
I don't know why.
I know what song it is. I just got to find the right version.
You know, you've arrived when you choose to take the golf cart in the residential neighborhood.
Oh yeah,
and not even a Bentley. Like that is. You see a guy driving around a neighborhood. You go to Malibu or something. You see a guy in a golf cart. He is way richer than the guy's got the Ferrari.
Yep.
What about the golf cart that's modeled after the Highland car? You seen those?
Oh, yeah. Those are Bentley all over Manhattan carts. Beach. Oh, they're great.
Ridiculous.
All right, so we can play her the Little Kim song. How old is she?
No, my daughter's 18. It's past.
Okay.
I was going to say, she has real catching up to do.
I have a question, though. Why, and I really am coming from a place of naivete, why would it be the parent's job to do this? Isn't this just something you...
Expose them to the penis?
Yeah, why
the priest
is that
is
even
busy
a question?
That weekend.
Wow, Brian.
And what do you mean expose them to the penis?
Well, my sister has two daughters, about 3 and 6. The dad, he's walks around, he's using the bathroom, doors open, the kids are running around. So it kind of takes it's no big deal.
Yeah.
Me, I had 3 sisters. So my daughter, I'm not, I'm locking doors, I'm wearing towels tight.
Yeah.
My daughter, we went to a pool party when she was about 6, and they had a toddler running around swimming. Naked, I think that was a good way because, it's better than some, 50-year-old guy walking out.
Most would say,
Pop the fence.
Are those my only two options?
Ripped off his dungarees, put down his beer and his Tipperillo and jump right in with the kids.
I'm here for the party.
Lee, I wouldn't put, my feeling about sexuality is the exact same thing. I'm glad Vinny's here, is I have about food. Your mom made too much. She had too much energy around food. All the snack was, she gave it too much energy. Instead of like, hey, if you want to have a treat, you can have a treat, but eat sensibly and let's get some exercise. She built the whole world around snack wells. My mom built the whole world around brown rice and jicama.
Brown people.
And now we ended up leaving the nest with some sort of weird food related energy.
Rebellion.
Yes. And what they do, and they talk about it, they talk about it when it comes to, some of these like Nordic cultures and Sweden and stuff like that, where it's like, we have nude saunas and the family goes they drink wine at dinner, in Spain, and the 14-year-old can have some wine and they understand. And now there's no energy around it, and it doesn't mean they're not going to get laid or drink wine or eat some cupcakes. It just means there's no weird energy around it.
You're right.
Gary, did you find Lil' Kim?
Yeah, we got it. We can probably play about 45 seconds to a minute of it.
Well, this is what you play when you're talking about it.
You got it going on. You got it going on. You got it going on. I used to be scared of the dick. Now I throw lips to the shit. Handle it like a real bitch. Have a hunter, Janet Jackson. Take it in the bud. Yes, bud. I got men in Switzerland.
All right. She used to be scared of the dick. Yeah. She's not anymore. That's what I'm saying. Just play that.
She takes it all over the place.
I'm mad at Lil' Kim, by the way.
What's that?
She owes me.
What?
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you why. Find out what year she was in jail. First, I'll tell you about Smart Mouth. Dual solution oral rinse. Only activated mouthwash. Clinically proven to instantly eliminate bad breath and prevent it from coming back for 12 full hours. They got the zinc ions. It's technology. Binds the bacteria together, forcing it to stop the sulfur. And the sulfur is what smells. Remember those little things where kids run around, do like the fake fart thing at the supermarket or something?
Stink bombs.
Yeah.
The little liquid one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just sulfur.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Eggs. That's what smells. Rotten. That's right. Nothing ruins an intimate moment as quickly as the stinky breath. So it doesn't matter how much you work out, how much you follow Vinny's diet. Even if you have a Lambo like me, you get that smelly, wet garbage breath, and you're out, Buster. It's a deal breaker, man. Social situations, sabotage relationship, career prospects. Let's get some smart mouth and be smart about smartmouth.com, smartmouth.com, or at Walmart, Target, Walgreens, CVS, wherever you shop, smartmouth. Yeah, why am I mad at little Kim?
That is the question.
She must have been incarcerated somewhere around 2006 or 5 or somewhere in that area. I don't know how long she was in there for. Not even sure what she did, but she was in the joint in the, you know, 2004s or 5s or whatever it was. And Gary'll have it. 2004. How long was she in for? What was she in for?
Maybe there's more than one incident, but the first one I'm looking at is 5 days for a minor charge of attempted grand larceny.
She was in for a little while.
She went away for a while.
She went away for a while. So we'll find out why she went away for a little while. But either way, I had a gay assistant at the time who I subsequently fired because he had to have a meeting with me to explain he didn't like my tone, which I should have just moved to Siberia right then and there,
that
knowing
was an
that there's a little indicator where we're heading as a culture, yeah, that he wanted to sit down. And I remember saying to him, okay, anyway, now I have to fire you. And he was like, what? And I was like, I got to fire. And he's like, why? And like, he was like, he loved his job, mm-hmm, but he still felt it necessary to carve out some time to talk to me about my tone. But either way, I'm glad he's gone. He was a horrible mess. But at some point, I walked in on him, and he was working on a letter to little Kim, who was incarcerated, from me. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I've been writing little Kim letters from you for a while now. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, why not? And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe, first off, not a great use of your time here. And then second year, 1 year and 1 day she was in. So it must have been right when I had this guy. And he was corresponding with her, or at least sending letters to her in prison.
That's illegal, right?
On my behalf.
It's a federal offense.
I started thinking about, see, a lot of these guys, it's kind of a smart move. If you're like a C-list celebrity and is Wesley Snipes still? Damn it.
No, he's out.
Willie Nelson?
No. Yeah. When some guy goes in, it's like an A-lister. Mm-hmm. Everyone turns their back on him, but you start writing letters as a C-lister, and they're so excited. And then when they get out, of course, they remember and appreciate those who stood by them.
Right. Yeah, that's very
while they're in the joint. But have your assistant do it. No skin off your back. They got nothing but time. You know, you're not going to get them to read it when they're touring on the outside and banging supermodels and stuff. But when they're locked up in there.
I know what you're saying. Dear Phil Spector.
Yeah, dear Phil Spector.
I have been a fan for a long time.
Yeah.
I love that wall of sound.
Yes. Now you have a concrete rebar reinforced wall of sound. It's the sound of adult men groaning. I'm a huge fan. So he was corresponding and writing little Kim letters,
wow,
from me.
So you were more impressed than outraged.
I was sort of amused. And then it was sort of like, this is really not what I'm paying you to do. And then there was a thought of, when's she get out? It's like, she'll be out in a few months. I'm like, it'd be nice to get a nice basket from little Kim, or some concert tickets, or who
shout
knows?
Out the next
how
album?
About her song?
Yeah.
Featuring
she throw
Adam
some
Carolla.
Lips to it or something, you know? So, no, never heard from little Kim.
Oh. Yeah, screw her.
Yeah.
That bitch.
Yeah. But I feel like there was a situation where I needed someone to have my back and some cred in that community. It would be...
could be her.
Yeah, it could be her. All right. Baldwin's on. Hey, Alec. Is he online too?
What?
Alec Baldwin. Let's see. Alec. Let's see. Can you hear me? Let's see. We'll try it again. Is he online too? Yes? Alec?
He hung up, I think.
Oh, okay.
He's a big little Kim fan. He's very offended.
Stand for that.
All right. Was he on hold for any period of time? Life is a weird thing because you get the Baldwin's calling in at 3, and then you get another note that says Baldwin's running late, and then you get a note at 3, he's on the phone.
Oh.
All right, so let's see. Is he trying to redo something?
We're
I'll hop on the other phone lines. All right, tell me when you got something. Hey, Dave, 27, Chicago.
Hey, Ace Man, thanks for taking my call.
What's going on, man?
Hey, I had a quick question for you about kind of the career transition. So I've had the same job since I graduated college about 5 years ago. It's a very successful company, kind of a white-collar position. I have a very good salary, great benefits, can provide for my family. I have two little kids, the whole nine yards. The thing I don't like about it is I'm always traveling Monday to Friday. I'm on the road, so I don't see my family that much, and I never really envisioned myself sitting behind a computer at a desk for a career. My dad owns a small construction company, and all his siblings were kind of in the blue-collar field, so since I was a little kid, I've always, you know, been working with my hands and worked with my dad, and I really enjoyed that. So, you know, I wanted to get your thoughts on what considerations I should make. I've been talking to my dad about changing jobs to start working for him, but obviously my personal satisfaction is like 5 or 6 on the list after, you know, being a good husband, a good father, providing for my kids, things like that. So what things would you think about, or what suggestions would you have for, you know, discussing this or kind of thinking about making that transition from the really good job that I have now to a job that, while I would be home more and happier, might, you know, have a little not as good benefits or make less money or things like that?
I always go for do what you want to do and then figure out how to make more money doing that thing you want to do. I mean, you know, take a look at Vinny Tortorich over here. I mean, writes a book, publishes it himself, sells. Is he on the phone now?
Oh. Sorry, I was trying to help. Vinny does private phone calls.
Oh.
He is on. All right. I'm now told for 5 minutes.
Gary gave me the phone move where we're waiting
that's
for Baldwin.
That's phone consultation. Everybody right. knows that.
Hang on. So hold on, Dave. Alec?
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Are you there?
Okay. Well, I'm here.
You're queer. Get used to it.
I'm here. I'm queer and I'm ready. I'm here and I'm doing Conan. I'm here to rehearse something crazy they came up with. But, of course, I shut everything down. Well, and then I sent everyone to their motorhomes here at Warner Brothers to talk to you. What's going on?
We'll make it fast, Alec.
No, baby. No.
I know
you're... Don't ever rush when you're with me. Take your time.
Well, I'm so excited you're calling in. So, you know, I was hearing that you were going to go on SNL and do Trump, and you're going to go on the last two episodes probably. And I started thinking, what is that creative process like? Do they get you on a Monday and give you a script on a Tuesday? Do you give them a lot of creative input? Is there a table read on a Friday? Like, can you just walk us through one Trump SNL appearance?
The stuff when you guest on the show, I mean, the show was obviously built around their principal cast and the host. And people who come on like I do and guest, it could be Melissa McCarthy, it could be Goodman, or it could be Tina, whatever. You come on and they plug you in like Thursday or Friday. So I will get a phone call from them and they'll say we have, I mean, most of the shows, they've been reliable. They had something for me to do. And I'd come in, you know, they'd email me something Thursday. We would talk about it. Friday, we rehearse, and they would rewrite. And then Saturday, we'd have the day with the full rehearsal, the dress rehearsal in front of an audience, and then the air show. And I never pitch ideas to them. I might fine-tune a word here, or I'll say, let's not be so mean here, or we could be meaner here, or what have you. But in terms of the basic idea, I never pitch them an idea. In fact, the quickest way to kill a sketch on SNL is have me pitch it.
in the mean department, so like Colbert the other day, everyone's saying, oh, he crossed the line, or it was a homophobic slur, or something like that. Yeah, yeah. Do you feel like stuff like that is too mean, or do you personally not want to do stuff that you feel is mean-spirited and crosses into mean versus funny, or what's your take?
Everybody has their own, it's just completely people's taste. I mean, you know, Colbert can say things that, I mean, that comment he made, I didn't think that was homophobic at all. I mean, I don't think, you know, because I look at people's intention, I don't think he intended to say that, you know, for someone to practice the act that he, you know, references in there, he wasn't saying that that's a bad thing. I don't see people who lunge at the homophobic component of it, that's just that kind of police squad that's looking to make everybody's life miserable in the political correctness department as it is. Colbert, I'm 1,000% convinced he didn't mean it in any homophobic way. However,
no, he wouldn't have said it. He wouldn't have said it if he thought
it was that way. He's not that kind of guy. No, but it was an ugly comment because it's like, you know, what are we going to say about the president? We're going to be saying that, you know, the president is shoving his hot dog into Putin's bun there, you know, all the time. They're great. But I mean, to me, Colbert is always more clever than that. To me, that was an uncharacteristically harsh Colbert.
How much crap do you get for Trump? I mean, I know you're probably not going to get a lot of crap if you're doing from Conan or some of the writers on the staff or SNL or any of that. But do you get crap just sort of walking down the street in Manhattan?
No, in New York, I get nothing but joy and them slapping me on the back, thanking me, blowing me kisses. And then every now and then you'll see like a cop or a construction worker in a hard hat who is really, you can just tell from the look in their eye that they're like Trump people. They're Trump people.
I get this look
from them that is this unmistakable look. It's unmistakable.
And you know it. I mean, you know when you're dealing with that person.
It's the same look.
They look at you like you're a commie at a HUAC hearing. You know what I mean?
Go ahead,
it's
Brian.
It's the same look Stephen gives him across the table at Thanksgiving. It's like, you're not funny.
It's a variant of that look, yeah.
So for you, do you have this feeling, and I won't put words in your mouth, and that's going to sound like I'm doing it, but or my hot dog for that matter, but does it feel like you've created this monster and now you're being swallowed by it? Like you were so successful and so beloved. Like I watch SNL and I know you're a super busy guy and I'm like, oh, Baldwin's back again. Like, God, he doesn't get a weekend off. Like he's being punished for being successful or do you love every second?
I always thought about that movie. Shirley MacLaine did this movie years ago that was kind of a cute movie. It was a lesser known movie called What a Way to Go.
Mm-hmm.
And Shirley MacLaine did this 60s, what they used to call back, it was a 60s comedy romp with Shirley MacLaine. And she married these guys, and they were all humble and poor. And when she met them, they all struck it rich in whatever field they were and became multimillionaires, and it ruined their lives, and they all died. They either had heart attacks or they killed themselves or what have you. And I kind of feel like I'm ready to play a character in that show right now. Trump's, the success of SNL's Trump is basically just crushing the rest of my life and my reality.
Do you think you may take a hiatus from it permanently? I mean, do you plan on coming back when SNL comes back?
We're going to do it as long as the writing is good, because I think the writing has been very good. I think that Chris Kelly and Sarah Schneiderman have written a lot of funny things. Remember, it's a cold opening, so they have to make it nice and tight. They want it to be 5 minutes. And number three, I think I still get a very positive response from people. No, I can't do every weekend, and in the fall I might be away making a film or what have you. But we're going to Trump will be back periodically, I'm sure, until Lorne decides. I mean, Lorne is the decider there. And until Lorne decides that it's served its purpose, I'll probably come back and do it, you know, every now and then.
It's nice, you know, when I do Match Game, people say to me, what the hell's Baldwin doing Match Game for? And I said, he's getting rich. And then I say, but we're living in a time where a guy like Baldwin can go do an indie movie. He can go do Mission Impossible 5. Yeah. He can go do SNL and he can go host Match Game or do a commercial. Like nobody cares anymore. Mm-hmm. It's the way it should have always been, I guess. But this is a great time to be Alec Baldwin, right? Because you can go do an indie thing and work on your craft and your art, and then you can go sell your soul to the company man and hammer a nice check doing Match Game, right?
Well, yes, all of that is true, and I think that the constellation, you know, the map of the business is so spread out that you're in one corner doing one thing, and people in another corner have no idea what you're doing. There are filmmakers who have no idea that I'm moonlighting as a game show host. So I think you can almost get away with everything. Now, I got to go and rehearse this sketch. I just want to say the boundary here may be when the movie comes out where your hot dog is in my mouth, that may be the end of everything for me right there.
But what a way to go.
And, or the
what a way to go.
The beginning of a new career for you, yeah. Alec Baldwin.
It's a whole new career, and I'm glad I'm doing it with you. I'm elated I'm doing it with you.
Alec Baldwin, Baby Boss, out as we speak. And, of course, you can see Match Game as well. I love, my kids love Match Game, by the way. They're not a fan of mine, but they love you.
Have a martini and watch Match Game. It's a great evening.
Thanks, Alec. We'll talk
soon. My love to you, buddy. Bye.
Love you. Bye-bye. All right. The great Alec Baldwin over there.
What a nice guy.
He's a very complex guy. He has a lot. You know, I guess what it is, Vinny likes cars. I like cars. When you have look at your brain. Your brain is like an engine of the car. And when you have a fire-breathing, supercharged, 700-horsepower brain like Baldwin has, it's great. You can set the track record. You can also kill yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, you can get into trouble quick with that car. And when you have sort of the sort of high-performance brain that he has, it enables you to do a great job hosting the Match Game and then playing the heavy in Mission Impossible and then going and doing Trump on SNL. And then you can get into trouble because you have this super power plant that can essentially is, again, it's like, the car, is it bad? Is it good?
It's on.
You can haul ass, and
he's
then
gone off on people.
You can hit a telephone pole. Yeah, oh yeah. That's the whole thing about that brain versus the sewing machine engine a lot of people have, which is it's never going to hit the speeds, and it's never really going to get itself into trouble. It's just that he's that guy, but he's also one of these guys. There's just not enough hours in the day for him to express himself creatively,
right?
He's just that kind of talent. And I do make it a very great distinction between him and many other actors who look the part or do the work or whatever it is versus the bona fide talent. I mean, he can slide right into Charles Nelson Reilly or then just be the heavy and talk radio or something like that. That's a bona fide talent.
Yeah.
And when it comes to working on your craft and ability and all that kind of stuff, that's all fair and well. But this is touched by God kind of talent. You're doing Bobby De Niro, then you're doing Charles Nelson Reilly, then you're just doing a great job as a leading man playing a heavy or whatever. That's just
Jack Donaghy.
Yeah, and you'll notice that guys like that, and I've always kind of said this about whatever career you're in, and it really doesn't matter whether you're an actor or a carpenter or anything in between. If you're really good at what you do, they can't take it away. If you're kind of a marginal broadcaster and you're doing sports on Sundays on CBS and there's 175 other guys around the country in other markets who could slide in and basically
do that,
call that golf game or that tennis game like you could, there's not, you're replaceable. Even if you're in a high-end job, you're still replaceable. If you're Alec Baldwin, you can say whatever you want. Mm-hmm. You can get into trouble. They have the recording of him calling his daughter a little piggy and everyone's going insane and blah, blah, blah. And if you have a career, if you have a engine that's more in the 300 horsepower range and there's a lot of other engines out there that can match that horsepower, well, guess what? They can stop you. I mean, people say to me all the time, I'm no Alec Baldwin, but they say, aren't you worried they're going to shut you down? I go, they can't shut me down. I actually have a sense of humor. Mm. If you're a little more marginal, you better watch it, and you better get in line, and you better watch your P's and Q's. I get to go do what I want. I'll go do live stuff. I'll go write another book. I'll go do whatever. If you have the horsepower, you can go do it. You can't shut down Alec Baldwin. And Alec Baldwin can't age out or eat his way out of it either. He can put on 80 pounds.
It's a different version of Alec Baldwin.
It's just another part, another talent that he has will just come pushing through.
The flip side of that is like when you say, or when someone says, when's so-and-so going to make a comeback? It's like they're not making a comeback. There are a dozen or two dozen or 100 so-and-sos, and you'll see them and not this person.
Yes, you're not going to see, even though I like him personally, you're not going to see Pauly Shore have a theatrical career again. It's not like he's coming.
Right.
You know, this guy did a lot of big movies. It's not like he's coming back to do more movies. That will be that with that. Baldwin can do whatever he wants for as long as he wants to do it.
And speaking of comeback, I don't recall Alec ever leaving. You know, he has been working consistently for over 30 years.
Yeah.
What do you keep to a maximum, bro?
All right. You, hold on. Let me finish this guy off.
Quietly contender from a favorite drop.
Hey, Dave. Sorry. Yeah, career. I don't know. Why don't you get a gig writing over an SNL?
Yeah.
Something easy like that. Now, I would... look,
thanks for the courtesy laugh. Like,
I'm doing a job and having a good career in a job that didn't exist 5 to 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that's my career now. So... I'm here to tell you there is no, well, I like doing this. You know, I like working with my hands, but there's a limit. You don't get paid. Let me tell you something. I don't know. I'm on a car roll today, but Dave, there was a guy from Symbolic Motors. Oh, not Symbolic. Sorry. Icon Motors. His name is Jonathan Ward. And this guy had a little Toyota Land Cruiser sort of shop that was right next to Valley Sash and Doors and Van Nuys. And I used to know because I used to go to Valley Sash and Doors all the time and pick up, you know, doors and windows and stuff, you know, and all my projects. And I always look at this little shop in it, like a little mechanic strip mall. Had a couple of like Land Cruisers and Toyotas and stuff in there. And I said, who is this guy monkeying around? And a few years later, he came on to our podcast. He came, you guys haven't met him, but he's come on CarCast. And he would say, oh, he's making these Land Cruisers, and he's starting to sell them and put them together. Yeah. And eventually, show me some cars from Icon Motors. And Joel McHale eventually bought one, and some other celebrities started buying one.
He's huge now. I know that because I'm a Land Cruiser guy.
Now he has 100,000 square feet worth of shop. He has... production of these go to their website and we'll find some more, but his production is amazing. Cars he has, they're on back order, they're going to Brunei for the Sultan and everything else. They're selling for several $100,000. He has all different lines coming out. He's created this empire. Now his business model at the beginning was like the craziest business model ever, which is his stuff's up there if you want to take a look at his different models. His business model at the beginning was, I take old Broncos and old Land Cruisers and stuff, spend a whole bunch of time and effort, you know, 2 years refurbishing them, and then try to take a car that you could buy on eBay for $12,000 and see if I could get $80,000 for it, except for no one wanted to pay $80,000 for a $12,000 car just because you worked on it. And it seemed insane. Like, it just seemed insane, but he never stopped. And right now you got a guy making millions of dollars doing what he wants. There's another guy from a place called Singer that you can write down. I ran into this guy up on Mulholland a million years ago. I was literally doing a photo shoot up there for like whatever LA magazine or something. This guy came by in his modified 911 and he's like, what do you got there? It's like, oh, it's a 73 911, some of the most beautiful cars on the planet. And we've done some thing and exhaust. We did cool interior. We're starting to get the shells of the 911. This is the sports car version of what Ward is doing. And we're taking these cars. You just find some cool pictures, Gary. Interior, exterior, absolutely unstoppable. Anyway, he said, we're doing the engine, we're doing the suspension, we're doing everything. And he's like, you want one? You know, you're thinking about it, whatever. And it's like, how much? Like, well, $200,000. And it's like,
whoops,
that's just a 73 911 that's worth $40,000. Yeah, but we do our whatever. I was like, okay, well, hey, good luck
to you.
Good luck to you with this business plan where you buy these cars for $20,000. You put all this thing into it. They're absolutely gorgeous and fabulous looking cars. All right. Well, now people are in line and there's a waiting list to spend $300,000 or $400,000 for one of these, or some of the guys who bought one for $250,000 are selling them for $400,000. I don't know. If you're really passionate about what you do and you're really good at what you do and you really stay with what you do, you can figure out a way to do anything and not only pay the bills, but get rich off
big
it.
Time.
Big time. If that's your passion. Yeah. So don't let anyone go, well, there's no money in this. This guy, Jonathan Ward, just sat in Van Nuys with old Toyota Land Cruisers. You had a picture. you know, go back to like circa 1999. He's got a Toyota Land Cruiser. It's like, what the hell are you doing with this thing? An old Ford Bronco. And he's going, I'm going to make it cool. You know, like
there's another guy in the valley called TLC, Toyota Land Cruiser. Same thing. But he goes to original specs.
Yeah.
Which cost a lot of money to do, but he's getting top dollar for these things.
There is a way to do it. And if you're really good, eventually it works. But you have to be the singer or the Jonathan.
Comes through. You know, people kind of recognize it.
Yes, it does. All right, let's get the news ready. I'll tell you guys about Simply Safe. Entry sensors, motion sensors, glass break sensors. Make your home a burglar's worst nightmare in under an hour. Pre-programmed to work right out of the box. Just plug it in and plug in the base station, and it'll talk you right on through the whole process. The entire system is wireless. You don't need to drill holes. You don't need to pull wires. You can go month to month. No long-term lock-in contracts. No hidden fees. Just $14.99 a month for 24/7 professional monitoring. Emergency dispatch service. It's all there. Let's get going, people. And don't put it off. You know why? Because you're on the clock now. You're going to get robbed. Don't wait another day. Go to Simply Safe. Two I's in there. S-I-M-P-L-I. SimplySafeAdam.com. Get 10% off your home security system. That's SimplySafeAdam.com. 10% off. Do it now. All right. Let's do a little news. Shall we, Gina Grad?
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Great. Viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, another day, another problem on an airline. People magazine reports that a California couple traveling with their two toddlers say they were kicked off an LA-bound Delta flight from Hawaii at the end of April for refusing to give up a seat held by their two-year-old son. The father said he told a flight attendant that he originally bought the seat for his 18-year-old, but decided to put him on an earlier flight so he could use the seat for his younger child. But according to the man, the airline told them they needed the seat for another passenger because the flight was overbooked, and the passenger whose name was originally on the seat wasn't there, which was the guy's son. An airplane employee told him.
Oh, so he
It was a little kind of a loophole. Yeah.
So they had the son, who was an adult, and then they brought his infant or 2 year old on there.
Exactly. And they instead, said, that's not Mason.
And they don't need to see ID for the 2 year old.
Well, there's a policy where the 2 year old can ride in the mother or father's
lap. Hold that thought.
Oh, yeah.
Because the airplane employee told him that under FAA rules, 2 year old children can't have their own seat and must fly seated with their parent on their parents' laps. But the FAA says that that is not recommended, and rules on Delta's website states that children at the age of 2 and older should fly in an individual seat while secured in an approved car seat, which both of them were in. Sorry. Two and under, excuse me. Thank you.
Two and under.
When the family eventually agreed to hold the kid on their lap, the family was asked to get off the plane, had to get a hotel, and spend another $2,000 on a flight on United home. This was an 8-minute clip. Here is a very quick clip of
Yes. They did agree to hold the child at a certain point?
Finally, they said, fine, we'll take the kid out of their car seat. I don't know how we got through the airport and through security and onto the plane with these two car seats with these kids in them, but fine. And they said, you know what? You guys got to go.
I never... Why they say have to go now that you've agreed to hold the...
I think they there was a guy waiting to get on the plane.
Is the kid over 2 years old?
Two.
One's one and one's two.
Oh, there's two kids.
Yeah. Wait, but They bought the tickets for the kids.
Right, right, right. But once they agreed, we'll hold the kid and thus free up the seat, why did they boot him off after that?
I think they were just done having this conversation.
There had been a pretty contentious back and forth.
Yeah, I think it was.
And the airport just... The people at United or whatever they're...
Delta
told them to get off, even though they went fine.
Yeah,
we'll do it your way.
Well, this was a little bit of the showdown between one of the airline employees and the dad.
Oh, God.
I'm black and white, so that way whether I'm wrong or they're wrong, that doesn't matter. The situation is this plane is not going to move, and so you guys are, and that's fine. We can all sit here all night if that's what you guys want to do.
But that's wrong. I paid for that seat.
I understand, and the person left, and then now you don't want anyone there, so you want another passenger not to sit there the whole flight. I get that.
I paid for the seat.
And I understand that. I understand that.
Okay, but if your stance is that he cannot be in that seat when the plane takes off,
I like the Garth Brooks in the background.
He cannot be in that seat at all because he's an infant, and I get that it was handled.
Wait, he can't be here at all.
No, in a seat. He can't occupy a seat because he's 2 years under, and that's FAA regulation. So,
Leon Russell.
How did we get out here?
I don't know, and that's what I'm saying.
And also, too, how did we get through security with two kids, two car seats, go all the way through your gateway and through the gate? And then they come down and say that we have to get off this plane, and that's the seat you're talking about. So
you're
physically going to remove my...
It's out of my hands now. I'm just letting you know from this point on, this plane will not go anywhere until you guys just... Now, you can stay here, and we can all just chill here. I'm just trying to help you. This is all I can do.
To help you?
Not very professional. She said, we can just chill here if that's what you want.
But wait, hang on. You buy a seat. It's your seat. A lot of morbidly obese people buy two seats. Now they could come and tell that person you bought two seats so that you can spread out. You paid for two seats, but we want to give that seat to someone else. And the guy's going, wait, I paid double because I wanted to be comfortable.
But I think the technology they got him on is the seat, the manifest, the name that was on there. The person didn't show up, so that's.
But Brian, that's where the flaw.
I'm not saying that's right.
The airline's not making any sense because the fact of the matter is, you pay for that seat. If you want it to be empty the entire time, then they could pay you back and say, "Hey, we're going to refund you and let someone else sit in."
The problem with a lot of this stuff is, we spend a lot of time in this gray area of life.
Mm-hmm.
And when you spend a lot of time in the gray area of life, then you have to kind of go, you know, if it's the kind of thing where you're walking out to your car from the supermarket and you watch someone just back into your car, that's not really gray. It's just black and white. But we spent a lot of time and we were both backing out and we're both looking over our shoulder, but we're both distracted and we both made contact in the middle of the parking lot. And now we have to figure out what to do because we don't have the black and the white. Right. We have the gray. It's like, I bought the seat. Yeah, but the person who's supposed to be in that seat didn't show up, so we get the seat. And now we're in a part of life, the gray area. And in the gray area, you have to have sensible human beings. Because with black and white, you don't really need to be that sensible. I wasn't in my car. You backed into it. It's 100% your fault. Right. Call your insurance. Now, in the gray area, we need to be human beings. You need to go, maybe I could have done something better, but maybe you were being a little hasty, too. Let's see if we can work this out. And now both sides need to have that ability to step back.
I get what you're saying, but the side that needs to have more leeway is the airline.
I agree.
And we have people now who they don't think for themselves. They're handed a script in life and just do this. That woman was, this guy was trying, this guy wasn't being, he was just trying to make sense of it.
I have a theory that Gina's not going to like and Vinny's going to, you may have a little drop of semen run down your leg. I have experienced this. I like to look at everything as a sort of social sort of psychodynamic. Like, what's really going, what are we really dealing with here? Like, what are we really dealing with? Theory is this. There's a hell of a lot more women forced to work in not only this economy, but just in general. Women have to work. They have to get out there and they have to work. A lot of broken families and a lot of daddy never raising the daughter. This creates a lot of emotional issues with daddy and or authority and
disagree.
Or female male dynamic.
Yes.
Guys, because we're not delicately wired, get to go have interactions that don't bleed over into, geez, that sounds like my mom, and now this is reminding me of a lot of this dynamic, and I'm a little, I cannot tell you how many young women I have dealt with out in the work world who are getting into my grill, and it's like, I know I'm a father figure because I'm an older dude and I have some money and I may be the blue-eyed devil, but there's much more going on here than should be going on here. I know I'm representing something to you. This woman had the, I'm not going to get screwed over again. You're going to listen to me, dude. You have to listen to me. You didn't listen to me in the past. You moved to Florida. You got a second wife. I got a teddy bear for my birthday for about 3 birthdays. I didn't even stop that. Now I'm in charge and listen to me. There's a dynamic that's going on there. And I'm not saying in all cases, but I have felt it. And I felt it a lot. And I think you're going to continue to feel it because women have a much more sort of organic, emotional wiring. And you can't take situations like conflict. A lot of guys are this way, too. But you can't take conflict and separate it and carve it out and go, this is a workplace.
Yeah, compartmentalize
this is, this is a stranger. Mm-hmm. You're wearing a uniform. No, that's why you'll see women crying at work or getting in good and bad or whatever. It's just they're wired in a much more emotional. Sort of there's going to be more right. here. So what happens in this situation is the second this guy starts asserting himself and pushing back, she starts digging in this weird dynamic sort of emotional whatever situation. And that's what you're getting. And you're going to get more, I think, more of it. All you have, it's a perfect storm. A bunch of kids growing up without dads, so male and female, but a weird anger toward dad and authority and this sort of paternal sort of part of life, sort of. And I think you're seeing it with cops and everyone else. Like, hey, you're not the boss of me. You don't get to push me around. I don't get, you know, you get a lot of that super angry. You don't get that. When you have a family and dad is around and dad is the disciplinarian, but dad is fair-minded and dad is doing his job and mom is doing his job, you don't get rageful kids who go out and just rage against authority right. and push back and whatever. We have a perfect storm of families falling apart. And when the family falls apart, the economic part suffers a lot, too. And a lot of ladies who could be going off to college instead are forced to go out and work. And they're forced to go out and work with this dynamic. And you're going to get a lot more of this. Well,
that makes perfect sense.
Thank you.
To your point, this is in another part of the video.
Hold on, Vinny. I didn't hear a drop. Are you?
I'm chubbed.
You're chubbed?
Oh, yeah. There's going to be a lot more of this going on.
But go ahead. Sorry.
He's ready to go. Mm-hmm. Well, the attendant said, you'll be committing a federal offense. You and your wife will be in jail and your kids will be put in foster care. And
wow.
then the guy who was sitting in the chair said, wait, we'll be in jail and my wife and kids will be what?
Right.
So she's really going
Meaning
for it.
Meaning we're crossing past professional and past a context of I've never met you and we're sitting on a commercial airliner and we're going well into the emotional.
She was sinking her teeth into it.
Well,
right.
Yeah, but the way it started was the best part. Hi, I just want to introduce myself, and then it escalates.
T, she's got some issues with daddy. Or whomever.
But the same thing happens to guys that are raised by mommy, too, right?
The moms, you know, there's another dynamic. I think that the kids, the boys that are raised by mommy and don't have the sort of guidance of dad around, don't recognize authority. And those are the guys who wrestle with mm-hmm. the cops. This is a emotional wrestling and a
right.
different version of that. Both of them are bad. One, unfortunately, gets you shot. This one just gets you called a bitch while the family gets off yeah. the plane. But either way, that ability to handle those situations, if you don't get that steady hand with dad and steady hand with mom in that environment, no.
Yeah.
There's going to be much more of this going on. And it'll go the other direction, too. The passengers will be unruly yeah. and whatever
the
else.
Anarchy.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely. Well, two nights after getting down and dirty with his takedown of President Trump during his late show monologue, Stephen Colbert started Wednesday's show by admitting he may have crossed the line with his language, but he didn't regret insulting Trump. In case you need a refresher, here's the end of what Colbert originally said.
You have more people marching against you than cancer. You talk like a sign language gorilla who got hit in the head. In fact, the only thing your mouth is good for is being Vladimir Putin's holster.
So a lot of people, well, they claim a lot of people freaked out. He went on to say Wednesday night that he may have changed a word or two in his tirade, but that's about it. Here's a clip.
I believe he can take care of himself. I have jokes. He has the launch codes. So it's a fair fight. So while I would do it again, I would change a few words that were cruder than they needed to be. Now, I'm not going to repeat the phrase, but I just want to say, for the record, life is short. And anyone who expresses their love for another person in their own way is, to me, an American hero. And I think we can all agree on that. I hope even the president and I can agree on that. Nothing else but that.
All right.
Yep. So there's the quote-unquote apology. Vinny, you really want your take on this. Doctors have long known that some people gain weight faster than others just because of their genetics. Well, a new study has found that people with a powerful fat gene can actually fight back simply by exercising each day. Researchers studied over 200,000 people and found that those who were physically active were able to reduce the weight gain effects associated with this fat gene by about 30%. And I know you always say that exercise is a terrible way to
horrible
lose weight.
Horrible way to lose weight.
Well, it's easier to do it with diet.
Yeah, it really is. And look, you can, you know, if you're doing zone two aerobics, you can burn some fat, and that's good. But if you're using exercise as your main defense to lose weight, it's just not going to work. You can out-eat any running program you can ever put together.
Brian, you be the researcher who's come up with the data. Okay. I'll be your boss. And you just came up with the data that turns out lots of exercise can be effective for losing weight.
Well, the data suggests that exercise daily, if not multiple times a day, will increase your calorie.
Hold on, Tim.
Eventually result in weight loss.
Yeah, let me jump
loss.
In here. Woo. Hey, let's get Tim a raise. So you're saying that lots of exercise helps you lose weight?
Well, that's exactly what the data suggests. Yeah, exercise helps you lose weight.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Let's change your name from Tim to Sherlock, as in no ass.
Oh,
Sherlock.
I don't believe that would.
And hold on. I want to just steady. See how the effects of fudge brownie. See what that does to your waistline.
Okay.
And by the way, I want you to research and see if Belichick's capable of winning a Super Bowl. Why don't you just sink some valuable time into that? Could you do that?
Sports person for a sport man?
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. Just spend a lot of my time and a lot of my money just researching if Bill Belichick has what it takes to win the big one.
Could you
do that?
I'm now certain from your tone that you're being sarcastic.
Has anyone ever done a study about hummingbirds? Do their wings move faster? Than a pelican or slower than a pelican? Why don't you sink some valuable time into that?
Okay.
Yeah.
You've made
Did Johnny Wadd have a big chode? Would you look that up? I'd like to know. Bigger than the average Asian? I'd like to know. Jesus Christ.
Well, the safe search appears to be blocking that search.
Let's go through it. So you're saying you take two groups of people.
Yes.
They're both fat.
That's right.
One group exercises all the time. The other group watches The Price is Right.
That's our control group.
And you're saying your findings, your groundbreaking findings.
Yes.
Yeah, hold on. Should we alert the media?
Well, I suppose The Price is
Reuters
Right
Reuters is going
to
want to know about this.
Gaining. Well,
hold on. Somebody get this out. Top of the news. This is front page above the fold.
Press release.
You're
being
saying
prepared.
That the group of people that consistently exercises... Consistently.
Daily exercise.
Tended to lose more weight.
You're showing me now.
More weight than the group that sat around
and watched
Drew Carey talking to a super long microphone.
I realize now this is a waste of time.
You're saying this is what, this is where you've been for 6 months.
Feels like you're belittling my efforts, the efforts of the entire team.
Remember we started this lab to cure cancer?
That was the initial, yes.
And you are just studying fat people sitting on their asses. And this is what you come back with.
Technically, I was studying people exercising.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. All right. I got something for you. I got a weekend project for you.
Oh, let's hear it.
I need you to tell me what smells better.
Okay.
Hyacinth, the flower.
Right.
Or...
some other type of flower?
Rotting sewage.
Fail to see the
get a controlled group, go double blind.
I want your findings on my desk Monday. Fail to see the scientific benefit. Oh, I see. You were making fun of
Jesus
me.
Goddamn Christ.
And wait, before you move on.
Sorry.
That's how that would go.
Before you move on. The fat gene. Where was that when the Zabruta film was made?
Oh.
Where was the fat gene?
I mean there was no fat.
Find
human
the
made.
Fat person in the Zabruta film.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
It's usually not what people are looking for.
Nobody in Dallas had a fat gene?
No, there's hundreds of people lining the parade route and not one over 180 pounds.
Think about that.
It's a good point.
I know. And again, you know, again, you look back into the folks you thought of, you know, Uncle Fester.
Is there another historical reference you could make?
Well, no, but that's the one. There's no actors. There's not. You know, the president is about as close as we get to an actor.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
In the whole film.
If you'd like, fine. Assassination of Prince Archduke Ferdinand. How about that? How about Bobby Kennedy when he was over
only death videos.
No, it's so true. And then the other one is like when you look back at, you know, Uncle Fester from the Adams Family,
right.
Or Laurel, or the three Curly from Curly. The Three Stooges. You're yeah. like, these are just average size dudes.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, I mean, these are just
the fat guy wasn't really that fat.
Spanky was not fat. He would be athletic today.
Yeah.
Husky.
No, but that's interesting. You take a film like that, you follow the parade route, you see all the just basic folk who come out from the city to line the parade route, and you don't see any fat people.
Gary, let's not watch it.
Let's find a parade route from 2017 in Dallas.
Yeah. Mm.
See if it's any different.
All right. Let me tell you about True Car. You should come out for that, man. True. New, used, over 7,000 pre-owned vehicles from over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. Whether you're looking to buy new or used, you get upfront pricing, you get the info, you get the discounts off the list, you get the best price and a better buying experience, and you get it all at True Car. You can see what others paid for the car you want, the exact same car you want. Vinny's got the vet over there, but those vets come in like 10 different configurations.
Easily.
Yeah. You got to go apples to apples. Find out the same car, find out the price, and enjoy a quick and easy buying experience. So when you're ready to buy new or you're ready to buy used, there's only one place to go. That is True Car. True Car. Some features not available in all states. It is True Car. All right, one more.
All right. Well, Jerry Seinfeld went back in time to the late 70s to recreate his original stand-up act for an upcoming Netflix special, according to Page Six. The comedian returned to New York's Comic Strip Live, where he got his start in 1976. He brought along his original material, even his original opening acts, Jimmy Brogan and Mark Schiff. Everything inside the club was made to look like it did 40 years ago, right down to the red checkered tablecloths. The show was taped last weekend. No air date has been announced yet, but he is literally recreating his first stand-up act, which I think
like
would be
that.
Very,
fun.
Very fun to watch.
Yeah. I was, I was skimming through the TV the other day and last night and found like We Are the 80s on, oh my God.
Love it.
Crazy. But something's satisfying about it. Not sure why. It's a lot of like, what were we thinking? Mixed with, God, look at that hair. Mm-hmm. Mixed with, Jesus, what happened to David Lee Roth? He really went nuts.
Yeah.
A lot of that.
Guy's a real showman.
Diamond Dave.
Yeah, but I like it. I think it's fun.
Oh, and by the way, last night we watched the Lost Tapes. What was it called? The gentleman we had on that did the...
Zapruder film?
Oh, no, the riots.
Yeah, the riots, but I can't remember. It was on the Smithsonian Channel.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. Absolutely worth watching. Incredible. It's all found footage, no narration.
Any fat people?
Yeah.
No. No. It was early 90s.
So another film.
Vinny said, Reginald Denny, not fat.
That's right.
No.
Not fat.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really cool. Really, really, really interesting to watch.
Yeah. Well, okay. The riots, everybody. We're going to have a lot more riots. And I've said this. No, I've said it a million times. Hillary Clinton is saying she's now just going to join the resistance. And when you talk that way, they're going to create more violence and more riots, whatever you want to call it. You can say the reason we're having all this is if you say, hey, black folk, you have a target on your back, or hey, Jews, you have a target on your back, or hey, young people, or hey, gay people, or hey, college students, or hey, everybody, or immigrants, everyone, Muslims. The president's declared war on you, and there is a target on your back. Well, then you'd be kind of an idiot not to burn things or bust things up or actually riot. You should have been. I mean, if this was, it would have been nice if the Jews in, you know, 1934 took to the streets and started rioting and started burning stuff, started whatever. It would have been justified. It would have been a smart move. It would have been a tactical move. This is us just saying that, except for nothing ever happens. Hello. It's just always just, there's a war on women. There's a war on gays, a war on Jews. There's a war on everybody. But the war shots never get fired. And they always talk, oh, what about this? What about that? It never actually happens. Everyone in this country is safe. And they do the But of course, you keep feeding everybody this, and of course, everyone is freaked out and pissed off. And why wouldn't they go burn stuff down and take to the street and bust a bunch of wheels?
Baton Rouge is in trouble right now because they just came down with that verdict of the guy who got shot by the two cops.
Uh-oh, what happened?
So I think that verdict just came down today. No, it was the guy who was selling stuff outside of something illegally, and he was the guy that was in trouble a lot with the cops, and he was brandishing a gun. The cops show up, and they tell him, stop, or we're going to have to tase you. Apparently, the taser – I'm paraphrasing, taser didn't work or whatever. Then the guy goes for the gun, and they pull their guns, and that's apparently when all the videotape starts, when the cops pull their guns. You know, no right. one ever has videotape up until – it looks right for their side, which is always. But I think they got off the hook.
Gary
can probably look it up. And
Button down Baton Rouge.
Well, and to your point about Hillary, another really interesting thing.
She's going to join the resistance. Like I understand there was a French resistance in World War II because they're
is
being occupied.
Is she saying there's a resistance?
There is a resistance. I think she said she's going to join the resistance or whatever. Anyway, I hate it. I hate that kind of talk. You can hate Trump, but don't join the resistance. Mm-hmm. That creates mobs and looting and breaking of storefronts and lighting of fires.
Well, and as that was happening, one of the pieces of footage, I believe it's Mayor Bradley, is saying some pretty insightful things, as in he is inciting people into anger, into sort of whipping them into a frenzy with some of the things he's saying on camera, which I never saw that footage before.
Well,
the Simi Valley cops were
this was my Obama beef when he would say, look, it's never okay to light something on fire or to assault law enforcement personnel or to X, Y, and Z. And then he'd take a breath and he'd go, but you have to understand systematic racism and whatever. Well, now you're saying, yes, you can. You're saying it's never okay. And then you pause and go, but you have to understand when you're being systematically targeted and you're living in this whatever. And then it's like, oh, well, wait a minute. This is a mixed message because you just got done saying you can never do it. And now you're saying, but I understand what's going on. And that does lead to more of this. Everyone, all the adults need to step up and really start being adults. Also, I'd be down with it if it got the group any further down the road. The LA riots were 25 years ago. Go down to South Central. Utopia? Like, what's going on? They just burned down their neighborhood, and then they rebuilt it, and now it's South Central.
No,
there's a lot more homeless.
They changed the name. It's not South Central anymore. Now it's South LA.
There you go.
It's done.
Problem solved. I'll tell you guys.
Cool.
Find out what's going on with Baton Rouge or wherever that was. Geico, man. Everybody's got the to-do list. Dang, you got to pick the dog up, take him, put him out. No, you put the cat out and take the dog in. I think that's what you have to do. Anyway, save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. And you don't have to worry about it, man. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. So what do you do? Go to geico.com. Take a couple of minutes. And just go ahead. Figure out a way to save yourself some buku bucks at geico.com. Okay. Now, Justice Department, charge cops. We'll get into it. We'll get into it next week. All right. Vinny Tortorich, everybody. Where should people go for you, Vinny?
VinnyTortorich.com. I do the consults. You can sign up there. Twitter, I'm there all the time along with Gina Grad. We hang out and talk to everyone all day and all night.
You're meaner than I am, though.
I'm very mean.
And Alec Baldwin, Boss Baby out there. And until next time. Oh, yeah, we got the T-shirts. I agree with me. Those are going to be done. The run will be done, and that will be it for that'll be Tuesday. So go to AdamCarolla.com and get the T-shirts or the mugs or the posters or the hats, whatever you want. And check out me and Dennis Prager, No Safe Spaces. That's on iTunes and Amazon. And he's a breath of fresh air. Very, very enlightened guy. All right. Oh, Books, yes. You text 64600. You get the message for mom, and you get the discount. Do that with the Books Mother's Day text campaign over there. 64600, and you'll see me. I got a message for mama. 24-hour war, all that stuff. Live shows coming up. Irvine, Oxnard. Just go to AdamCarolla.com. All the info you need. Until next time, Adam Carolla. For Alec Baldwin and Vinny Tortorich and Gina Grad and Paul Bryan saying, mahalo.
The president is shoving his hot dog into Putin's bun there.
Follow the show at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace at Adam Carolla. Here's the voicemail if you want to leave us 1-888-634-1744. Gina Grad is on 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles from 5 to 8 a.m. weekday mornings. Tickets and info on everything, including the Carolla Cruise this November. Check out AdamCarolla.com.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Parrish from the Retronauts Podcast, a show about classic video games. We're exploring gaming's history every week. We talk about classic video games and how the medium's past feeds into the industry and culture of today. Want to know more about the people who made Destiny? What's the story behind Mario? And yes, we even explain why they call it Final Fantasy when there's 15 of the things. From arcade classics to the latest retro releases, Retronauts covers it all. Subscribe to us on iTunes or right here on the Podcast One Network. Listening to Retronauts won't help you build your gamer score, but you'll rock at bar trivia.